following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Did you hear that? Refuge Choir. We're going to talk about that tonight. Actually, the title of the message is One Huge Choir. I don't know how Jeremy knew that. I don't think he knew that. But that was very, very timely. I want to pray tonight before we start for our brother Saeed. I can't remember the last name, and I forgot to put it down here. The brother we prayed for last week in Iran. American-born, Iranian-born, but American citizen. And I guess on Sunday, maybe Saturday, but on Sunday, over the weekend, he was sentenced to 8 years. And one of the things that I heard about his situation right now is that he's been pretty seriously beaten, and they refuse to give him medication because he's unclean. Because as a Muslim, he converted to faith in Christ. And as of Monday, anyway, they were refusing him medication. So he needs our prayers now more than ever, his wife and his two children as well. And so would you join me in prayer for our brother Saeed and his family? Father, we know you can do anything. You work miracles of release and freedom, deliverance. We read about it in your word. We've heard about it from our brothers and sisters down through the centuries where you release them from those prisons, Father. And we pray that for Saeed right now. God, we ask you to comfort him, that you would bring the healing and the balm, Lord God, that's being refused him in the form of medication, that you would be that painkiller for him, Father. And we just pray that you'd comfort his heart and that his voice would continue to be lifted up for you and his life would continue to be a praise offering to you. Father, we pray for his wife and his two children. Lord, I know their minds have to be full of questions and just torment right now, Lord, in one sense. They have to be just in pain over this. And yet, Lord, I know that their hearts are turned towards you, and ours are as well, Father. We pray for their family that you would bring peace and comfort and wisdom, Father. We do pray that somehow you would move upon the hearts of his captors to release him. And we trust you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please continue to remember those that are bound. I mentioned this on Sunday and over the weekend services, and it's one of those those things that that Paul tells us in his letters, remember those that are bound as though you were bound with them, as if you were sitting right there in the cell with them. And we usually forget that until a story like this brings it right before us, or till we have a friend or a family member that's bound and sitting in prison. And we have, who knows the numbers, way over the tens of thousands all over the world that are in prison for their faith. And so continue to lift them up. God knows exactly who they are, and ask him to help you to pray intelligently. All right? Open your Bible to Psalm 148. You can just go to that next slide. That'd be great. Title of our message and our series is Starting with Praise. And I was going through my photographs from Israel, and I found this one picture that I took of a statue that it's in one of the walking or shopping malls in Jerusalem, just outside the old city. And every display up and down both sides of the corridor you walk through were Bible stories. They had just commissioned all of these artists, probably 60, 70 artists, and they had some things on display. And I found this one, and it struck me as the image to put up here for our Starting with Praise, now that we're about halfway through it. I wish I would have found it 3 weeks ago. But before we get into looking over this psalm tonight, I asked Rex if he would come out here and play a little music while I read the passage to you. You know that all of these songs or psalms were at least poetry, and most of them were meant to be sung, and many of them come with little inscriptions at the beginning that say, sing this way, or let the women sing this, or the men sing this. So I thought what I would do, instead of stopping in the middle, I'm just going to read it with Rex playing. Doesn't he play beautifully? Love the touch that you have, Rex. Still fighting this silly cough. But I asked him if he would play while I read to you. So follow along with me in Psalm 148. And then at the end of the service tonight, the band's going to come back out. I'm going to read it again. And we're going to break into one of the parts of this song that all honor and all glory and all praise be to you. Would you stand with me one more time while I read this, and then we'll get into it. Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Read with me. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the judges of all the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near him. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you tonight, Father God. Thank you for your word as it comes to us tonight in the form of a beautiful song lifted up in exaltation of you and your goodness, calling all of creation to worship you, to praise you. Lord, we choose to do that tonight. Oh God, thank you. Open our hearts to become a people of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Could almost just have you play through the whole message tonight, Rex. Thanks, brother. Thank you for that. All right. I remember waiting, and maybe you've been here too, waiting for my name to be called out. How many of you remember waiting for your name to be called out to see if you made the team? Anybody remember that? That list of names? I wonder what it was like when Jesus came off the mountain and he gathered his disciples, which might have been in the hundreds at that point, and he chooses 12. I wonder about the Billies in the crowd that thought, oh, he didn't call my name at that point anyway. But I remember waiting for my name to be called on to see whether or not I made the band or I made the team or if I was the lucky one that got to ride in Mrs. Noble's car to the you know, third grade field trip. The reason that was important is because Becky Noble would also be in that car, and my name was not called. But by the way, I found somebody way, way better than Becky Noble to sit by, and her name is Joy. But there is one team, and one choir, as we're saying tonight, that every one of us is called to be a part of. Every one, every single one of us is called to be a part of this one huge choir. And how many of you are thankful that there are no auditions for this choir? You're invited to come with your voice just as it is. And there's no outrageous skills that are needed, and no one gets cut from this edition of The Voice because they don't quite have it. And you already have the perfect vocal range, whatever vocal range you have. But I wanted to test us and see what vocal ranges we have in here tonight, okay? You can look this up yourself. It's kind of fun exercise that I did this afternoon because I never knew, where does a bass end and a baritone start? Where does a baritone end and a tenor start? So, okay, if you can sing in this key, this is the, how many of you think you're a bass? Let me see the hands of the basses. Way, way in the back, up here in the front. Okay, here's sort of a middle key for the basses. Okay, here you go. We're just going to sing Hosanna in all the different keys. Are you ready? Are you frightened? Are you afraid? Well, there's a bass rumble. Okay, here. Okay, if you basses can sing, here's how it's going to sound. Hosanna. Hosanna. Let me hear them. None of you are basses. Not a single bass in the house. Okay, here's the baritones. Ready? Hosanna. Hosanna. There's a few baritones. Here's the tenors. How many of you think you're a tenor? We'll see. Here we go. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. There's a bunch of tenors. Here's the altos. You ready? More embarrassing for me than for you. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. How many of you ladies were pretty strong on that? Any strong altos? Okay, here come the mezzo sopranos. Just go ahead, start. Hosanna, go. I'm not even going to try. You guys are just cowards. I mean, it's a whole room full of cowards. I went way out of my range. Point, silly point. Everybody, I don't care who you are, what your range is, or even whether or not you can or can't hit the notes that I could or couldn't hit. You are called, I'm called, to lift our voices without shame, with strength, with power, with conviction, and bless the Lord, worship the Lord. Everyone is invited to sing in this choir, even commanded. Every one of these last five psalms, the Hallel Psalms, the daily Hallel Psalms of Scripture, start and end with the same command, you, praise the Lord. It's emphatic. Just do it. Praise the Lord. It's a very familiar pattern in every one of the Psalms. There's a call or a command that's followed by a reason to praise the Lord. You probably picked that out as we were reading, but just in case you needed a reason, every one of these Psalms tells you why, tells me why, and us together. Why we need to lift our voices, loose our hearts and our souls to praise God the way that he deserves to be praised. I don't want your hands raised in answer to this question, but I wonder how many of us today praise God as he should have been praised. Did we lift up our voices and our hearts with our whole heart and bless him? That's what all these songs are all about. Verses 1 to 4, I love where he starts. Whoever this anonymous songwriter is, he reaches up into the heavens. He's kind of heads for the throne of God. And he starts way, way above us, way out there in the heavens, speaking to the heavenly inhabitants, the angels and the hosts. Look at it there in verses 1 through 4. He says, praise the Lord from the heavens. And praise him up there, way up there in the heights. And then he mentions the creatures, the heavenly beings. Praise him, all his angels, and praise him, all of his hosts. And then he sort of looks around. I love the poetic license of these writers. He looks around and he says, and you, sun, and you, moon, and you, stars, give God praise. And I think everything that God creates gives him praise when that thing, that item, that person, that angel, that creature does what they were called to do. When they're operating the way they were called to operate. When the sun is blazing like it's supposed to blaze, giving us warmth and energy and nutrients. When the moon is doing what it's supposed to do to keep the tides kind of moving in and out and sweeping our atmosphere of asteroids. You see all the pockmarks on the moon? It's taken a few hits for us to protect us. That gives God praise. Everything that does what it was created to do gives God praise. So he says, you heavenly inhabitants, praise God. And all of you heavenly structures of the universe, give praise to God. He moves on down. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. And let them praise the name of the Lord. And here's why, verse 5 and 6. For he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. And he made a decree which shall not pass away. And he says to all of you heavenly creatures and all of you heavenly structures, here's your reason to praise him. You bring praise to God because you owe your very existence to Him. He made you. By the way, you can take verse 5 and 6 and attach it to your reasons to praise God too, because He made you. That last breath you just took, He gave it to you. You owe your existence to Him. The next breath you're about to take, that's from Him too. Use it to give Him praise. Use it to honor Him. Good reason, because you owe your existence to Him. And secondly, He says, He's the one that established you. He's the one that sustains you. He's the one that keeps you. Give Him praise. You know, we expect praise in heaven. We expect that the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim and whatever other creatures are up there, we expect them to give God praise. I mean, look at their proximity. They see Him in all of His glory and all of His goodness. They're next to Him. They have private audience with Him, personal audience with Him, I should say. They're there and they see Him. We expect them to praise Him. They've seen also what happens to those that decide that, as I said on the weekend about Jesus, they've said about Yahweh, "Oh, Yahweh, you're not all that." You know who I'm talking about, Lucifer and the hordes that he led in rebellion. They've seen what happens to those that kind of fall out of love with God. They've seen His power against His enemies. And God has, you know, basically said to Lucifer, "You don't want to be here in submission to me? Well, then you don't have to. And you're gone." And he was. And you expect the praise that rises to God. I just even wonder if the songwriter needed to say that. Well, he's writing a piece of poetry, so I get it in its context. I don't think you have to tell angels to praise God anymore. I think they're so locked on the majesty and the beauty and the power of God. And especially after they've seen what happened with the last and only rebellion in heaven, they're praising Him. Oh, that we would praise with that same fervor. Then you move down, though, from the heavens, from the heights, and you find yourself on earth. Look at these in verse 7, down to verse 12. Praise the Lord from the earth, from the heavens, from the earth. You great sea creatures. How many of you have a Bible that says, "You dragons, you dragons, here be dragons"? It said, "All you creatures, you sea dragons, you sea creatures, and all the depths, you fire and hail and snow and clouds and stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all the hills, fruit trees." My orange tree is praising God right now. About 2,000 oranges just waiting to get picked off that tree. It's bringing praise to God and blessing to Billy. Enjoy, loving it. You mountains, you fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. He says, let's settle down here on earth now for a while. And the writer, he looks around the natural world and he talks to the critters, those frightening sea creatures, whatever they were, whether they were real or imagined by sailors, where the dragons were out in the midst of the ocean, or the ones that we see. He talks to the creatures that are under the sea or in the sea. He talks to the birds, the flying fowl. He talks to the mammals. And he said, just live your life and give God praise, doing what you were created to do. Give Him praise, all the creatures, the sea, the air, the land. And then he talks about the natural beauty of the earth that catches our attention and has become the focus of how much poetry and music. How many of you can think of a song about mountains? Or sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy. You know, there's the bits of beauty, beautiful poetry that come out of just looking around at the beautiful world. And somebody says, thank you for that. I mean, it's a fool that looks at the beauty of the world and says, oh my, what a wonderful accident all this is. Isn't evolution a wonderful thing? But to look at what God did in the mountains and the hills he mentions and the fruit trees and the beautiful cedars of Lebanon that give God praise. How does that happen? Well, every time I walk into a chunk of nature, whether it's the wilderness of the sea and I sit on the cliff, I've told you about this before, I think. I calculated or just counted the steps away from the parking lot down at Bolsa Chica, towards the ocean, until I got to that point, that threshold, where I couldn't hear PCH anymore. Couldn't hear the cars on the Pacific Coast Highway, and all I could hear was the Pacific Ocean and the waves just crashing in. And that was like the beginning of the wilderness for me. It's one of those places that you have to go from time to time. Frank and Kathy, and I know a lot of the others of you too, are into going under the sea, where you can't hear anything except maybe a motor every now and then up on the surface. But does it ever just capture your attention when you look at the beautiful creatures that are down there? And does it ever just blow you away every single time? I'm so glad you had a good answer for that. But you got to get to those places like the songwriter did, where he said, look at the cedars and look at the fruit trees and look at the mountains and, oh God, you're good. And he sees them operating in such a way and such balance that we end up saying, God, praise you for what you made for me. Thank you for what you put before me. But then he looks beyond all nature that pretty much still has some balance to it. And he looks at us and he says, now let's talk about you, you human critters. Look at it there in verse 11. No, he's not talking about people when he says creeping things, although some of us are creepy things. He says, you kings of the earth and all peoples. That means the nations those kings would be ruling over. You princes and all the judges of the earth, you powerful, from all the powerful ones. And then he says, and the young men and the maidens and the old men and the children. He says, all of you humans too, praise him. Give him the glory that he deserves. And he tells us why in verse 13 and 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For his name alone is exalted. There's only one big name, isn't there? I mean, isn't there only one really, really, really big name? It's not Justin Bieber. Isn't there really just one big, big name? It's not Neil Diamond. It's Jesus. There's one huge name. Jesus, the name that's what? Above every name. All of us. Looking to that name, the God alone is exalted. His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the heaven and the earth, and he's exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. And he says, and for your benefit, and we know this if you study the scripture with us, you know that the whole reason God established a nation, a specific nation, wasn't to isolate the rest of the world from his blessing. Israel was supposed to be a delivery people for him. Israel was supposed to bring blessing to every nation of the world. They were supposed to be sort of, in a sense, a depot of blessing to the entire world. That's the blessing, the special blessing of his people. But he said, this is for all people everywhere. That's our reason to praise him. Look at what he's made for you. And again, back up to verse 5 and 6. I mentioned it as we passed by it. But your reason to praise him, let us praise the name of the Lord, because he commanded and you were created. He sustains your life. We got plenty of reason to praise the Lord. What I love about this psalm, and there's a number of them like this, it's so uncomplicated. Psalm 148 is just about as straight as it comes. Charles Spurgeon, in his comments on Psalm 148, is kind of funny because he starts out by saying, you know, this psalm shouldn't be dissected and over-expounded. And then he goes on for about 10 pages to expound on it. And how can you not? When you see these bits of beauty and truth that are in there, he just gets caught up with the glory and the majesty of God. But there is something, you know, dangerous about trying to dissect a song, you know? A song is meant to be sort of like a verbal piece of art. An audible piece of art, like a painting that hangs on your wall, or a beautiful piece of art like that statue was. It just makes you, it just grabs you emotionally. It makes you feel a certain way. The songs are supposed to be like that too. This one, oh my goodness, it is so simple. There's nothing hidden here. You know the Beatles song, The Walrus? Remember the Beatles song, The Walrus? And you know what that song's about? Yeah, how many of you have heard this before? The walrus is about nothing. because John Lennon heard that one of his old teachers from the school that he went to was assigning his students this kind of an assignment, a drill. I want you to dissect the Beatles songs and figure out what the meanings were. Well, he heard that and he said, I'm going to write a song nobody's going to figure out because it's about nothing. I am the walrus, I am the Eggman, you are the Eggman, coo-coo-ca-choo, and it meant nothing. This one means something and is so simple and in your face. This says, praise the Lord. Along with the other songs that it's assembled with, it says, praise the Lord with your whole heart. I mean, put your heart behind your worship of God. When you say something to God, don't just say it by rote. Don't just say it from memory. Say it with your heart and your soul and your mind and put meaning in it. Lift it up to God because he's worthy of all of this. A songwriter calls all of creation to come and bow before Yahweh, to honor him and praise him and yield to him and to give him the praise that he's earned today. He says there in verse 11, all you people, all people. I want you to see a couple other verses. Hold your place there in Psalm 148 and flip back to Psalm 117. I want you to train yourself to see this in Scripture over and over again as you move back and forth through the Psalms, especially the poetry in Scripture. Really long Psalm. You got to take one deep breath and that's all it will take. You ready? Let's read it out loud together. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and tell them, God deserves my praise today. He deserves my praise today. God deserves my praise today. Now look back at him and tell him he deserves yours too. You get it? You get it? He needs to hear from me today. I want you to turn to another one, two of them actually, and then we're going to close. I'm going to have the band come back out here and we're going to worship the Lord a little bit more tonight. Is that okay with you? Okay. I'm not going to read all of this, but look at Psalm, what did I say, 96? 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people. You just said to somebody, and I hope you meant it. I know you said it because I asked you to. But you said, what did I have you say? You remember, God deserves my... Now, you know what? Between now and before you turn off the light tonight, you ought to find somebody and tell them why God deserves your praise. Tell him about his wonders that he's performed in your life. Maybe it's been today. Maybe it's been this month. I tell you one thing I am incredibly thankful for today is that my good friend and my co-worker and my brother in Jesus, Alan, is here tonight. Yesterday, he was in a broadside accident. We just finished having our Tuesday morning meeting. It was a little bit longer than normal, and We were driving back separately, and I got out of the extension office, coffee house, a little bit after him, and I heard this crash out on Beach Boulevard, and I thought, oh, that sounded, you know, strong. And then I thought, ooh, timing hit that, what? And I got in my truck, and it was his car that had been hit and spun around. Not a bit of injury to Alan. I'm thankful for the hand of God over Pastor Alan yesterday. The devil must just be aiming for refuge pastors, you know, over the last several months, but didn't get one of us. You tell somebody why you're so thankful. He is to be feared. He's great. Verse 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. Why? Because the other gods are nothing. All the gods of the peoples, they're idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Praise him, all you people. Look at verse, or not verse, but look across the page to your left at Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is more than just a matter or an issue of sing the song mechanically. You know, find your range, bass, baritone, tenor, alto, sopranos, find your blade and do the thing. Thanksgiving is a matter of putting your heart behind it. And when we sing those songs to God, it becomes petition or thanksgiving or adoration or worship. He says, bless him, come with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to the Lord with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Read verse 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hands. Isn't there times where it just feels right to be on your knees before God, to bow before him in humble adoration? So the question here is, what are we waiting for as a congregation? When we gather, I'm speaking specifically. And what are we waiting for when we're on our own? Well, what does it take to let the praise, I mean, literally and verbally and passionately escape our lips? What does it take to get it out of us? Whatever it takes, do it. Get it out. Because you're on this team. You're in this choir. You made the team. I should have you turn to one another, but you'll get mad at me if I have you do that too much. And just tell somebody, you're on the team. Ray Lewis might not be on the team for this coming Super Bowl, but you are on the team. And God has called you to bless him. Let him hear from you with all of your heart. I mean, what I was planning on doing, jot this down, please. In fact, we do have time to do it. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to turn back there. I said one more psalm, and that wasn't a big lie. It was just a mistake, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. I want us to go back to the passage that we ended with on the weekend. Same passage. And I want to read it out loud to you. And if you've got your Bible there, I would love to invite you to read it out loud with me. Because this is not just an Old Testament Jewish thing. This is from beginning to end in Scripture, a call for all those who love God to bless him. And to realize among everything else God's called you to do, you're uniquely gifted for a lot of things. You are uniquely gifted to do some great things for God. One by one, I mean a string of them, one after the other. But this is something we're all called to. And we're all equipped for. Look at verse 4. Coming to him, that's Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. How many of you would say Jesus is precious to you? Precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. Now read verse 9 with me. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's your calling. Refugees, you are the refuge choir. Turn 3 pages to the left in your Bible. Look at it again. Hebrews 13, verse 15. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back out, if they would. Verse 15, Hebrews 13. says, therefore, by him, this is Jesus again, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Read it with me. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's your assignment, not just tonight. That's your assignment. Continually, don't stop. In every situation, in every location, and to every generation. In fact, I want to encourage you to do something. Close your Bible up. And if you have it, and I authorize you to do this right now, whether it's your smartphone or your iPad or whatever calendar you use, digital calendar, I want you to take it out and put this on your calendar every single day. I did it this afternoon. I put it on at 6 a.m. so that whether I get up at 6 a.m. or when I get up and look at my phone, it'll be the very first thing that I see. I have this appointment, I have this reminder now every single day from here on out. And here's what it'll say when it pops up on my screen. It's going to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then for the location, I said, right here, wherever I happen to be. Does that sound trite to you? Does it sound gimmicky? I know what it's going to do for me. Every morning when I open that phone, it's going to say to me, this is the day. Bless the Lord right now. Bless the Lord right now. Oh, I won't say the same thing every day, but my voice in the morning is going to be raised up to bless the Lord, oh my soul. Do it. I dare you. Do it. I don't command you, but do it. I dare you. Remind yourself. Put it where you will see it over and over again. Wherever you go, a lot. The fridge, okay, put it on the fridge. Wherever you go, on the dashboard of your car, put it there. But be that person that daily starts your day with praise. Let's schedule it. Stop grumbling. Start praising him. Joy and I were at a restaurant a couple of days ago. Okay, it was a coffee shop. But we were sitting there in this corner, and there were Christians here, and there were Christians here on both sides of us. And it was so cool. We overheard the one couple in the other corner, and he was talking about to-do lists. And he said, I'm going to start a to-don't list. I'm starting a don't do this anymore list. Like, don't grumble anymore. Don't worry anymore. Don't fret anymore. Praise God. And put that in its place. There's nothing wrong with that. We're called to this wonderful, beautiful preoccupation with the Lord. Let's answer that invitation. Amen? All right. I'm going to ask the band to come back out, and I want to read this passage to you again, and then we are going to break into all honor and all glory be unto our God. So, anybody want to play? Oh, here comes a drummer. I mean, you're playing guitar tonight, aren't you, Jesse? Yeah. Can you find the rest of... There they are. All right. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to move into some more worship. Psalm 148. Listen to it again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. And praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of the heavens, or heavens of heavens, you waters above the earths of the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he has commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great dragons and all the depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he's exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, the children of Israel.
a people near him. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise you, God. Lift your hands with me towards heaven. Father, we reach out to you tonight. Father, we thank you that before we reached our hands up, you were already reaching down, Lord. You always beat us to the important things, Lord. We love you because you loved us first. God, thank you for establishing us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for the world that you filled with beautiful systems that cause us to stop. It takes our breath away, Lord. The fire and the stormy winds, Lord God. Thank you, God, for stretching out your arms on a cross for us. Thank you for saving us, God. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We bless you. We give you all honor, all glory.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.